Right. Hello and welcome to episode 14 of the Reps Chat podcast. For those of you that don't know me, I'm your host, Ben, and I'm here every other Saturday bringing you what I like to think is a veritable smorgasbord of exotic animal keepers from all around the world. We've got python keepers, monitor keepers, gecko keepers, parrot keepers, and we've even had a Gila monster keeper on so far. So a nice vast range of reptiles and exotic goodies for you to feast your ears on. What's going on in my world? Not too much since the last episode, really. The snakes, the royals are all at all stages of breeding. I've got girls laying. I've got girls that have laid and are back on food. I've got girls that are locking. I've got girls that are doing whatever they want, and I haven't got a clue what's going on with them. So, yeah, royal breeding season is in full swing. Egg-wise, I've got babies from the first clutch, which I told you about in the last podcast. They've now all had their first feeds, probably their seconds, actually, by the time this goes live. And they will be on Morph Market soon if I haven't already done it. They won't be ready for their new homes until they've had at least five consecutive strike feeds and are well over 100 grams. But yeah, if you want to see what's available, go check my Instagram on my Morph Market out. Clutch number two has been cut as of yesterday. And all the little snake babies should be emerging the next couple of days. Pairing was an entry orange dream pastel to pastel calico pairing. I was really, really hoping to hit some fancy calicos, and I think I've hit some really cool ones. So we'll find out once they've come out and once they've shed. If you want to see what's going on more in the world of my personal keeping and breeding, I guess, not just royals, but obviously I've got the chameleons, tortoises, cresties, leopard geckos, all that sort of fun stuff, go and give me a follow on Instagram at Ben's Balls. Moving on, today's guest is a good friend of mine. We've been in touch back and forth for a fair few years now, and it's always good to have a good chat with him. You may have noticed in the title, it does say formerly of Beyond Breeders, and we will get into that in a little while. So he has 110,000 followers on TikTok and had over 10,000 followers on Instagram twice. So without further ado, let's get Luke in.
How's it going?
Hello, mate. Thank you very much for coming on. I know I've pestered you a few times to get you on here, and now our calendars have aligned, and I finally managed to get you on. So how are you?
I'm great, mate. I'm all good. I've had a few days off work.
This is your first ever podcast, isn't it?
Yeah, no, it is.
How are you feeling? Not too nervous, hopefully.
Nah, I'm all good.
Awesome. So if you listened before, you know that I like to get the podcast started with the get-to-know questions. Nice. They're straightforward questions, basically. Just what we're looking for, sharp, short, fast answers. The first thing that comes to your head. So we'll get stuck in with those, and then we'll do a deep dive into the podcast. So let's get in. First exotic pet?
Would have been Ghost, the royal python that we've got.
Nice. Most unusual species that you're currently keeping?
Probably be the blue lobster.
But I was going to ask you about that in a bit. I want to know what's going on with the blue lobster. Your favorite exotic animal in the whole world, not something you keep, but just in general. I say exotic, like any animal, really. They're all exotic.
God, I don't know. I mean, I'm really fond of Euromastics, but I don't really know if I've got a favorite.
No, that's fair enough. If you can't pick a favorite, it's because there's loads in there, so it is hard. No worries. Money, space, time, no issue at all, and legality. What's an animal you'd love to keep?
Probably blue tongues and more fire skinks.
Cool, yeah.
Just because I really love skinks as well, and when we kept the fire skinks, they were just incredible.
Yeah. No, it was unfortunate what happened with your fire skinks, but they were really cool. But so, yeah, so something that's not really out of the realms of possibility of having again at some time in the future soon as well. So that's pretty cool. Most importantly, what's your favorite biscuit?
My favorite biscuit.
Yep, everyone's got to have a favorite. What are you dunking in your tea?
Usually it's either Maryland's or Digestives.
Okay, see, that's two that we haven't had on here yet. Last episode was custard creams. I'm a hobnob man myself, so I like that. Maryland cookies are just a good standard digestive. They hit the spot. Yeah, awesome. Right, now I'd like to move on to this or that. So, again, it's exactly as it sounds. So, just the first one that pops into your head. So, Beach or mountains?
Beach.
Sun or snow?
Sun.
Vacation or staycation?
Vacation, definitely.
Yeah. Night in or night out?
Night in.
Yep. And early bird, night owl, or permanently exhausted pigeon?
Early bird.
Nice. Nice. Awesome. So that is the like the beginning of the podcast done. I don't like doing that. It just breaks the ice a little bit and we get to know you a little bit more. And now if you ever go around anyone's house, they know what biscuits to get. Let's take a history lesson into Luke, really. Tell us what was your first sort of experience with an exotic animal, and then sort of how did that experience then turn into what you are doing today?
Well, when I first met Sadie, that was back in school a long time ago, and we used to go around the house during school. Now, I never actually saw the snakes back when I was in school with her, but a few years down the line, when I got back in touch with her, I started going around to her house quite a lot, and she had 6 ball pythons, and I'd never had any experiences with any sort of snakes or exotics, so when I went round, I was mega scared. I was sweating. I didn't touch them at all. I just looked at them. You know, I kept my distance.
Yeah.
But probably after maybe only 2 or 3 weeks, I'd say, you know, I started to like touch them a bit. You know, she would get them out and hold them, and I would, you know, maybe put my hand under its belly a bit. But I was still super anxious. And then I don't even know when I moved in. It must have been about 5 months after I'd met her, I moved in or so, I'd say. And obviously, at that point, I'm living around them. You know, I'm spending every day with them. You know, I'm going to work, coming home. You know, she's feeding them. I'm seeing that. So I just really started to sort of get into it, really. Started yeah. holding them, you know, letting them explore around me. And then my friend gave us the idea that we should, you know, look at breeding and just make Instagram pages just to showcase her snakes and just, you know, have a bit of a laugh.
Yeah, lots of people do it, don't they?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, that's just how it all started, really, you know. And then our relationship sort of developed, and we just, you know, I just fell in love with them pretty quickly after that.
Yeah, so it's interesting because most people I've had on here, they go, their sort of history, their history starts with either they always wanted one when they were young and got one, or possibly they like went to a zoo and saw one, held one, and then knew instantly that was that. And for you, it's almost the complete opposite, whereas it was quite a very gradual thing, going from having no experience to, like you say, just being nervous being in the room with them to over a few months, but slowly getting comfortable. So that, yeah, I quite like that, because it's not something that we tend to have so much when I have the guests on anyway. So it's a different way of going about it. And then moving forward now, you've got quite a few different reptiles and what's the word? Like crustaceans, I guess.
yeah.
So what are you keeping at the moment?
To date, we've got 14, 15 ball pythons with one more coming. We've got Callie, our spurthide tortoise, Nala, the leopard gecko, Athena, obviously.
Yeah, the Madagascan giant hog nose.
Yeah, the absolute crazy girl. Yeah. But she'll be getting an upgrade soon. She's going to be going into a bigger viv. Then we've got our hog nose that we just got from Debs, our little Western hoggy. She's absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah, I saw that on your Instagram. It's really nice.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. She's amazing. And then we've got our blue lobster.
Yeah. I was going to touch on that later, but as you mentioned, let's go straight into it now. I don't think I know anyone that has ever kept a lobster as a pet. So, how did you come across a blue lobster? Was it planned? Where did you get it? What's the process of keeping it? Like all of those questions, all in one go.
So we were basically at the reptile shop that's in our town, and they don't exactly keep everything fairly or as it should be.
Yeah, I've seen on your Instagram a few times.
Yeah. they were keeping these two blue lobsters together in a tiny little, you know, tank. And there was the second lobster, the one we didn't get, was a lot bigger, a lot more dominant. And, you know, I don't know exactly what happened. You know, I wasn't there when it happened. But the lobster that we took, he only had one claw. He'd had lost two legs. He'd lost an antenna. Yeah. You know, there was clearly, you know, something happening there. So we thought, you know, we were there. It was a spur in the moment. And we just thought, you know what, let's take him. Let's give him a nice big tank, you know, loads of stuff to do.
And did you have the tank and stuff at home already? Or was it like okay.
Yeah, so because where we had the musk turtle back at Sadie's house, that's still at Sadie's house now, but she's, well, both of them, so we've got a second one. They've been put into a nice big tank at Sadie's parents' house.
Right, okay.
So we had that tank spare just sitting around. So we thought, you know, it's perfect. It works out.
Yeah.
So we went and got the oxygen stones. We got a nice filter, loads of plants. And
is it a freshwater lobster or a saltwater lobster? Because I have no idea.
Freshwater.
Okay. So, and I presume you're feeding it things like bloodworms and, I don't know, snails. Mate, and stuff like that?
He is loving life. He's eating everything.
That's really cool.
Yeah, no, he's already molted. His second claw's already started to grow back. It's about half the size. But
oh, brilliant!
Yeah,
so how do you find
him?
Yeah, no, that's really cool. I don't know anyone. Like, I know people keep like vampire crabs, and you get the old hermit crab keeper. But to have a lobster, which is obviously an aquatic animal, but it's not a fish, is it? It's like a wet reptile almost. So
yeah, no, it's pretty cool.
How are you finding keeping it in comparison to like the snakes and the lizards and stuff?
I mean, especially with feeding is a lot more exciting with the lobster compared to the snakes. You know, it's because obviously keeping multiple snakes, it's just repetitive. But
yeah,
with the lobster, his name's Larry. With Larry, he goes,
brilliant name,
crazy. Yeah, it was kind of decided by quite a few people. Everyone just started to call him Larry, and we were like,
he's sticking. Yeah.
But no, yeah, no, his response, he just goes nuts. You know, he loves it.
No, that's really cool. It's definitely something that I wouldn't have even thought about keeping ever, really. I don't think I've ever seen one in the pet shop. To be fair, pet shops that I tend to go to are just reptiles, not really aquatics. So I suppose it's, yeah, I don't know. That's really cool, though. So circling back to reptiles, obviously I met you originally. I can't remember how I originally met you. I think it's just through Instagram. And then bought my giant Madagascan hognose off me, who you've had for quite a while now, and you've named her Athena. Obviously, you've got royals as well, but we'll start with the hognoses, and then we'll go to the royals. So before you got Athena, what was your experience with snakes? Was it just royals?
Yeah, literally just royals.
And so, for anyone that doesn't know Athena, I don't know if all giant Madagascan hognoses are like this, but she's feisty, I think is the way to put it. She's fast and she's noisy. Like, I had her for a good 18 months. She never bit me, but there was lots of like full strikes, and she just gave me the heebie-jeebies. She's a scary snake.
Yeah.
How when you first got her and you got like used to her, how were you finding her? How was the whole experience with her?
At first, you know, if I'm being honest, the first week or two, I thought, what have I done? I was like, wow, she, because obviously it took her time to settle as well.
Yeah.
So, you know, she was very scatty. Even up to the first month and a half, she was still quite scatty, but she, you know, I was a lot more scared of her than she was of me, definitely.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I just got used to her over time. She calmed down a lot, and
it's definitely a completely different experience from a royal as well.
Oh yeah, yeah.
like royals, like you don't have to worry where your hand is if you're changing the waters or anything. But I think especially as she tends to sit under the substrate as well, and then just launches from nowhere at your hands. Yeah,
it's scary.
Keeps you on your toes, and then you've recently got a second hognose, but a Western hognose this time. So what made you decide that you wanted to go for a Western hognose?
Well, Debs is a good friend of ours, firstly. And she was actually a gift from Debs.
Oh, brilliant.
So when this clutch landed, she basically just messaged us and offered us Mini B from Big Bertha. So we were really grateful for that, and we took her up on the opportunity.
Yeah, you can't say no to a free snake, definitely. Especially a little Western hognose as well. And how long have you had her?
Beautiful.
Or, I presume her.
Yeah.
So how long have you had her for now?
About 2 weeks now.
She's really new. Really, really new then. So I suppose you haven't really got a chance to see her character too much. She's settling in a little bit and they're tiny as well at the moment. But my first snake was a Western Hognose. I love them. I think they're brilliant.
Yeah, I really like them. I'm glad we've got them.
Yeah, no, that's really cool. So Royals, what I don't want to go through every single morph because nobody needs to list them all off. How many have you got? How long? I know you said there were Sadies originally and you've got accumulated more together. So how long did Sadie have them before? And then what sort of experience have you got? Are you breeding them? What's going on? Are you just keeping them as hobbyists? What's the plan?
I think Sadie sort of built up the original six that she had over time. I don't know the exact times of when she got them. I can't remember. So she had the original six. Now we're on 15 now with another one coming from Lulu at Rebel Regis.
Oh, okay.
So
have you told people what you're getting yet? Because I don't know and I want to know. But if I don't give away the secret,
it's a GHI Phantom Yellow Belly Male.
Oh, awesome! Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lulu's had some really good snakes. I've got a couple of from her that I've accumulated over the last year or so.
Yeah, well, the albino pied, firstly.
Yeah, exactly.
But
the albino pied came from Kev at Wolves Bulls, but the pied het albino borty and the Candino came from Lulu.
Oh, okay.
But they all came at the same time, so I was just, I won a couple of raffles and got well lucky.
I know you did.
I've got two more on the way at the end of the month as well.
Oh, nice. Oh, yeah.
But anyway, it's not about me, it's about you. So, so you've got 15, soon to be 16. Is that a collection that is based on just, oh, that's cool, I like that one, I want to keep them? Or is there breeding plans? Are you breeding them? What's the deal with the collection at the moment?
It's a bit of both at the moment. So obviously the original ones that Sadie has, we have a couple of those that we want to use for breeding projects. But there's a few that we are just keeping as pets.
Yeah.
So we haven't got any major plans at the moment, just because we got our first place, you know, at the end of last year. You know, we have been focusing a lot on building our lives up more than we have been.
Which I think is an important thing to do, and the snakes will always be there.
Yeah, yeah. Well, this is the thing. I mean, over time, we've just been building it up slowly. You know, we did have plans to have everything a lot more, you know, established by now, but I think where we made the decision to sort of hold back and focus on us a bit more, it was really, really essential. But
yeah,
like you say, they're not going anywhere. You know, we've still been building it up. You know, it's a shame about what's happened with the socials, but
yeah, and we will get into that properly very shortly, because that's the main topic, I guess. But as for breeding plans with Royals at the moment, so have you got any experience breeding already? Have you guys paired anything in the past?
So about a year and a half ago now, we paired Indy with Theo and Indy with Toulouse. And we ended up having Toulouse being the father to the clutch that we had with Sol and Bronson.
Right, and so for people that don't know who is who and what is what morphs are we talking?
So Indy was XOLBB Pastel Het Orange Ghost. Yeah, and Theo was a Pastel Mojave Orange Ghost. Toulouse was a Noka Line Special.
Yep.
That was just all Toulouse was. So we ended up having Sol, Bronson, and a third one that we sold on.
Yeah.
Sol is what we believe to be a XOLBB Pastel Special Het Orange Ghost. And Toulouse was a XLBB special Hair Orange Ghost.
Awesome. And it's
a lot to remember sometimes.
Yeah, no, it is. There's so many names that I get confused and like they're right in front of me. So you mentioned that XOLBB, is that right?
Yeah.
And that's a morph that I know I've spoken to you in the past about it, but it's definitely one that not many people have heard of.
Yeah, so I mean,
you go on. Tell us as much as you know about the morph that you want to share instead of me rambling. You
know, I've spoken with different people on Facebook as well, and you know, a lot of people have said that XLBB is just the same as like, well, HRA essentially, or green pastel.
Right.
But you know, I don't really have my opinion. I don't really know if it is the same or if it isn't. I just know that when we've used it, it's been absolutely awesome.
Yeah, like the babies you produced were amazing looking.
Yeah, I mean, when we've looked around and we've spoken with people, we thought that Sol was a world's first, and we haven't had anyone say otherwise.
Yeah.
But who knows?
That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. And then you sold the other hatching. Was the other hatching from that clutch XALBB as well?
No, we believe that it was just a pastel hair orange ghost.
Okay, so I don't know anybody else working at the moment. So do you know if anybody else in the UK is working with XALBB? Are you the only guys to currently keep that? Or
as far as
there's
aware,
not a lot of it.
I don't actually know, as far as I'm aware.
That's cool. So it's obviously one that's not very popular at the moment, but it's not a popularity thing. It's more of a how well known it is sort of thing. So hopefully you're sitting on something pretty cool there. And
this is one thing that I've been holding back on for quite a while, because obviously we've got, like, I want to work with Purple Passion and GHI quite a lot.
Yeah.
But obviously I really want to try and work XLBB into those projects as well, just to see what I can sort of make up, really.
Yeah, no, I think it's cool to have something as well that isn't worked with by many people. Not obviously it's hard for you, like, trying to ID stuff, because there's not many people that you can go, oh bloody hell, what is this? But at the same time, you could be sat on something that, like, not financially, but just like in the royal world, could be like the next, I don't know, Red Stripe or Spot Nose or something like that. Like, all of these things that were slept on for ages, and then all of a sudden, bang, look at this, it's incredible. So yeah, keep that tight close to your chest for now. Hopefully, in a few years, as the breeding sort of goes on, it'll open the world up into the XALBB world. That'll be really cool.
I really hope so.
So, have you got any breeding plans this year, or like you say, you're just focusing a bit more on life this year than breeding?
Yeah. At the moment, we're focusing just on, you know, getting ourselves really built up. You know, we want to get a car. We want to have a couple of holidays. Like, enjoy this year, and then next year we're going to really sort of jump into it and get our heads down.
I think that's sensible as well. I don't want to sound patronizing at all, but you both are very young still. I think the fact that you've managed to get yourself a place, I think it's very wise to be going, although we've got the snakes, let's not put all of our eggs in one basket and focus everything on that. We'll keep the collection, we'll let them grow up, we'll take care of them but we'll want to make sure they're all right, but breeding at the moment isn't our main goal. And just sitting back and letting, like, there's no harm in letting everything grow on for an extra year at least, or like extra 2 years. Exactly. So I think you're doing the right thing there. So whilst you're not breeding, you are building, or you were building, quite a large social media influence. So most people probably know you from the Instagram account Beyond Breeders, or from your TikTok, which I didn't realize until yesterday had 110,000 followers, which I think is ridiculous. But we'll come back to TikTok in a bit. We're going to do Instagram first. So your account Beyond Breeders, because that was your second account, because the first one got deleted, didn't it?
Yeah.
So you got Beyond Breeders probably in, 18 months, if that, from nothing to 10,000, was it deleted at?
It was around
10,000. And most people will know the account through you doing the top and bottom game on Instagram stories.
That's correct.
It was really, really popular. Like, you had massive names on there. You had like Justin Kabelka, Billy from Mutation Creation, Gavin from Balls to You, loads of different people built the account really quickly. And like, some people, like, I know a few accounts that I've seen like buy followers, like, it's really obvious. Your account was genuine growth just from you and Sadie as well. Just being genuine people, like, supporting the hobby. You're always very supportive. You're liking, commenting, replying to stories, all of that. And then a couple of days ago, what happened, mate?
So Well, we were basically just chilling out, and we got tagged in a post on Instagram. And, you know, I think I went on it first, and it was just one of our TikTok videos, one of the pink snakes, been posted on Instagram for obviously the Barbie release. And it had done really well, you know, it gone semi-viral. So we both commented, you know, I showed Sadie, she's gone online as well. We both commented saying, you know, we'd just appreciate credit. You know, we're not asking you to remove it, just at least give us credit. You know, it takes 5 seconds.
So, yeah, just to be clear, it was someone else had stolen your account, like stolen your content from TikTok, were posting it and claiming it as their own. And you were just commenting saying, you know, this is ours, give us some credit.
Yeah, pretty much. And then they replied saying it's commented in the tags. So we had a look, it wasn't there. We've spoken in personal message, and they sent a screenshot of them just typing Sadie's Instagram name.
Yeah.
I said, mate, that's, you haven't done it. That's just you typing it as a screenshot that you haven't done anything. I got blocked. The day's gone on. The next day, someone else has posted that account's video crediting them for the snake.
Right.
So I commented saying, mate, please, like, you're taking the mick now. Like, this is not their snake. And we got into a whole debate, and they asked me, how can I prove that that snake's mine and not theirs? Because it's been on their TikTok for over 2 years.
Yeah.
That pink snake video is not even a year old.
Yeah.
So it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, they're just talking absolute rubbish.
So it carried on going through comment after comment. I gave up eventually. And then by the end of that evening, I've gone to go on Instagram, and my account had been removed for violating their terms.
Which I think is mental. Like, the fact that you were like saying that they'd nicked your content, you'd reported them to Instagram for stealing your content, and then you were the one that got blocked. Like,
yeah.
I know Instagram has weird algorithms and stuff, and a few people have had like unlucky situations, like Billy from Mutation Creation, he lost his account.
Yeah.
But the fact this is your second time losing the account, and you hadn't done anything wrong. It's not like you were slagging someone off. It's not like you were like stealing people's content or sending like dodgy pictures or posting inappropriate content. All you did was ask for some credit. And
I wasn't racist. I wasn't sexist. I didn't say anything out of tone. I just simply said, give us credit.
Yeah, it's just mental. So that's, yeah. So unfortunately, that, which, like I said earlier, it was your second Instagram account. And the first one had got removed as well, unfortunately. So we're now back to ground zero. So indeed. I know you've just started a new account called @xpythons. The link will be in the show notes below.
I have appealed. I've appealed it twice now for this account because I couldn't appeal for my first account, Breeders and Beyond. It wouldn't let me appeal. My account just was gone.
Just gone forever.
But this time I've been able to appeal it. I've appealed twice so far. I haven't heard anything still, despite it being, you know, a few days now. But
yeah.
Hopefully something comes.
So we're currently at @xpythons if you want to get hold of Luke, but hopefully his Beyond Bridges account will come back. But if it doesn't, everyone go and give @xpythons a follow anyway, because I'm sure that will become a backup account.
Definitely.
But yeah, what an absolute pain. I know that as reptile keepers, especially reptile keepers on social media, because there are obviously the few keepers that nowadays that aren't on social media, but social media is a massive part of being a reptile keeper, I think.
Like, yeah, not really,
like the numbers don't really matter that much. Don't get me wrong, like 110,000 TikTok's incredible. But like, I don't care if I put a picture up and I get like 25 likes or 25,000 likes.
Yeah.
Obviously, yeah, it's pretty cool if you get something go viral. But at the same time, like, I don't use the social media for the like instant gratifications, so to speak. I use it as like a form of chatting to people and keeping track of what like other keepers are doing. I like all my highlights from there, so like all my breeding from each year goes into a highlight on Instagram. It's like a little time capsule as well. Like, so to have all of that just go disappear,
like
it's not
that.
Yeah, it's like, I don't even know. I'd say I don't even know where I'm going with this. I know for a fact that if my account got deleted, I probably wouldn't bother starting another one. I'd be like, you know what, screw it, I'm gonna become a recluse. But at the same time, I know you were sat there like, can I be bothered again? And I was there like, you gotta do it.
The first time it happens, when I lost the first account, because the first one didn't actually get removed by Instagram, I'm pretty sure my first account just got hacked.
Yeah.
So when that first account went, I remember I threw my phone on the floor and I said, I'm not doing it. I said, you know,
yeah, because it's a lot of effort to build that as well. Isn't it? Like, how, like, I know that each day is different, but roughly how many, I don't know, hours are you putting into creating content or like coming up with the top and bottom games? So what sort of, like, there's a lot of your own personal time, but there's no real reward apart from like chatting to people or making new friends.
Yeah.
But, well, yeah. What sort of time are you putting in? Like,
that was very time consuming. Not so much the smaller rounds. It was more the, like the 64 people and the 32 people, you know.
Yeah.
When I was doing it every week, you know, I had it going for, I think, about 9 weeks running.
Yeah.
When I'd do the first round of 64 people, I'd be sitting in bed, you know, or I'd be sitting at the windowsill, or, you know, I'd be just glued somewhere, and it would take me about three and a half hours.
Yeah. So for people that don't know, the top and the bottom game basically was on Luke's Instagram stories, and it's exactly as it sounds. So there was a picture of an animal, and the account tags, and then on the bottom half was a picture from a different account with the account tagged, and it was literally a case of like a poll on each page, and you pick the top or the bottom. It started at top 64, winners went through to the next round, top blah 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 blah, and then there was ultimately a winner, which then got promoted on your account. But I think most people weren't too fussed about the actual, like, the promotion. It was more of a haha, I've won. It's a bit of fun on Instagram, isn't it? Like,
everyone loved it, man.
I won a round, or went all the way through the top 64. And I was like, yes, well happy with that. And that was like, I enjoyed going on there. And not only that, I was finding lots of accounts that I hadn't heard of, seeing lots of cool animals. And it was a really good way for you to build your account as well. And like we said, you had you had some really big names in there as well, like Justin Kabelka, for example. So you were sort of being seen from all over the world as well. So to have that all go out the window,
it was fine. Pretty soul crushing. I mean, I didn't actually think about top or bottom straight away when I lost the account this time around.
Yeah,
you know, I was more just thinking about, I've lost all of the pictures, the videos, you know, the messages.
Yeah, exactly.
I was thinking more just about the page, and then Sadie looked at me and said, "You're top or bottom," and I just put my head in my hands. No, it's just, yeah, it's heartbreaking. Yeah.
But like I said, you have built from the ground up once, and I think you'll be fine doing it again. And I said to, I remember who I was talking to about it, but someone said that generally, like, I noticed almost instantly, because I like go on Instagram, I'm like, oh, check everyone's stories. I was like, oh, I haven't seen anything from Luke for a couple of days. Oh, where's his account gone? And I messaged you. I was like, where's your account gone? Thinking, oh shit, have I done something wrong and he's blocked me? Obviously that wasn't the case. And so I think, like, as the week goes on, your account will, you'll probably get like a few, maybe 1,000 or a few to start with, just from people going, oh, I haven't seen that for a couple of days, and then realizing. But obviously it's going to be a bit of a challenge building it back up if the appeal doesn't go through, but I think it'll be all right. Fingers crossed, exactly. Like, I'll push it, and obviously you're on the podcast, so that helps a bit. But how do you think your 110,000 followers on TikTok will transfer over into Instagram? Because I know it's quite a different following on both platforms.
Yeah. So TikTok is obviously, it's a completely different fan base for us, especially. A lot of our audience that built up, you know, that big number is from doing the lives.
Yeah.
So those people, a lot of those did transfer over to Instagram because they were a face-to-face audience more than just watching a video audience. But overall, a lot of the people that did watch our TikTok videos, they transferred a lot more over to Sadie's account because she was the one creating the videos.
Right. Okay.
So she done really well from it, to be honest.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. So you need to get back on the lives and just push your account a little bit instead.
Yeah.
Sit back, Sadie. Hang on, it's my turn.
Yeah. I mean, we used to go live on TikTok most days. You know.
Yeah. No, I remember quite often joining in watching your TikToks. I used to just sit there and spam the heart button whilst I was watching telly.
Yeah. No, we used to have quite a bit of fun, but you know, like I say, you know, life sort of got in the way, and we just sort of focused on us and dropped it all out. But there's just so much to do. Once we do get back into it next year, we've got all of these different things that we need to, you know, get going.
To be fair, I think it's a good idea. Like, sometimes I wish I could just, well, I can do it. There's nothing stopping me, but, you know, I'm not going to. But to just sort of not disappear from the world, but take a step back from the social media a bit. Like, still be there, but not as often. Like, yeah. The breeding, maybe take a year off, and then just sit and sort of come up with, like, different breeding plans, different social media plans, and just how to then progress. I think it's, I don't know, it's like almost taking, like, a sabbatical, isn't it? And it's probably it's probably not a bad thing, to be honest. And it's probably not a bad thing. I know that you've put a lot of effort into that Instagram account, and it's like a soul crushing. But I think you are on the right track. And I think, like you say, taking a year out to sort of focus on your sales more is definitely going to be it can only be beneficial. Really, it might slow things down slightly, but like we said earlier, everything's still going to be there in a year's time. And if nothing else, they'll be bigger, like healthier. I can't see any negative, really.
Yeah, no, I mean, I know for a fact that I needed this. I know Sadie needed this. It's not all just about the snakes. It's about us as a couple as well. You know, the snakes, that side of the business, it won't do well if we're not doing well. You know, we want it all to work together.
Yeah, exactly. And do you see it in the future as a business, or do you see it as a hobby where, like, I class myself as like a hobbyist breeder, and the excess animals that I don't keep as holdbacks tend to just sort of pay for itself? Or are you hoping and planning that in the future you can make a business out of it, whether it be breeding or, I don't know, some sort of venture within reptiles and exotic animals themselves?
I mean, me personally, I would love to sort of take on a role of more of an educational purpose as well.
Yeah.
So obviously, In the area where we live, we had reptilers, but obviously they've closed down. They were the main company in the area that were doing birthday events, school events, all just these sort of little fun things like that. I would love to get into stuff like that and start teaching younger people about all these things, you know, get them used to it a bit more.
Yeah, definitely. I must have been like 14, 15, my friend and I started doing it because his mum was a shepherdess at a local like farm. It's not like a farm, you know, like it's a bit like a petting zoo where you can go and see all the animals, like they do school trips and stuff. During the summer holidays each year, we would take all of our animals over to the farm and basically do like educational days for the kids. Obviously, we were only like 14, 15 ourselves, but it gives the kids like a chance to touch a snake or hold a leopard gecko or see a tarantula up close.
It's fun to do.
It's really, really fun to do. And you know for a fact that, like, if you were to start your, call it like a birthday party business, where you go and take your animals to a birthday party, you've been booked. So you know that kid is already massively excited about the animals. So it's never going to be a negative experience.
Well, unless they're really scared and you pull a snake out and they just run.
Well, yeah, but they booked the reptile party, so that's their own. They got to deal with it. But I know you're quite charismatic, and I know Sadie is as well. I think actually that would be something really good for you guys to go into, if life lets you, basically. But there's definitely a market for it. I know there's a bloke in Crawley. It's not too far from me, and he started. Well, it's got to be a while ago now, probably 10 years ago, and he's doing really, really well from it. I can't remember the name of his company. Don't know. But I know he's got a rhino iguana that featured on the BAFTA Awards and accepted a BAFTA on behalf of David Attenborough. So that's really, really cool. So it can lead into massive things. Like, he does music videos and all sorts. So I think that'd be right up your street. So yeah, definitely taking a year out, have a think about stuff, and then that's definitely a possibility. I mean, and like I said, if you need any help, give us a shout.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. I mean, there's so many different avenues that we could potentially go down. So, you know, we're not just jumping into it and saying we're going to do this or do that. We're just going to see what happens and take it when we come to it.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's a brilliant idea. Like, I for the last few years, I've been breeding royals, and each year, like, I don't get me wrong, I love breeding royals. I love seeing the baby snakes, and I'm not going to stop. But I'd like to almost reduce the clutches to like one or two clutches a year, but then focus on having a more variety of species. Like, I've got leopard geckos, tortoises, all that, but I want, like, I'd love an Aki's monitor with like a big bioactive viv, and I want to focus not only on keeping the royals, but keeping a larger variety, because not only like, is each animal different? Each species is obviously different. They have different care requirements. They all have different attitudes and stuff. And I think that's something that you guys, with your collection, is quite good, because you've got quite a nice variety of animals. Like, obviously, from pet rocks being the royals, to the tortoise, to the blue lobster, there's all sorts.
It's pretty interesting. I mean, a couple of weeks ago we had, how long have we had Larry for now?
Months.
No, it's not that long. It's longer than...
Work.
Yeah, so we've had Larry for longer than 2 weeks. I thought it was only a couple of weeks. We've had Larry for about a month now.
Yeah.
And when the Lightning Fiber people came around to install our Wi-Fi, they saw the blue lobster. And these two, they went crazy. One of them was he was Brazilian, I think, and he was scared of snakes. You know, he was in a room full of snakes, and he lost his mind. But the lobster, he was obsessed with.
Yeah, it's really cool. It's something that, like I said at the beginning, it's not something you see every day. Like, I don't think I've ever seen a blue lobster, apart from on your Instagram posts. So to have one is a cool talking point, if nothing else. And like you say, he's really interactive. Like, and you can watch him, and he's doing all sorts of stuff. And I think it's a cool pet to have. And if you were doing, like, the school shows or perfect bodies, I know kids can't really handle him, but in like a travel tank, so they can see him and get up close to him, and so, like, it's something, it's just cool, isn't it? Like, and to see that spark in other, like, in new reptile keepers, like, you see, like, the one child go, oh, that's amazing, and you know, like, they're going to be keeping snakes in a year or so.
Yeah, no, but it's also nice knowing as well, like, when we see him every day, like that to us was a rescue. Like,
yeah.
But now that we see him, actually, he's taken on such a bigger size already. You know, he's active every day. You know, he's happy when he gets fed. You know, he's doing so well. So to see that progress as well, you know, it's really nice to see.
Yeah, no, definitely, definitely. That's really good. So not moving on really, but moving on a little bit. Sort of circling back to social media. Obviously, there's lots of keepers and lots of people out there that have got social media accounts. We'll talk about Instagram, because I know TikTok's a bit weird, and it tends to just, if you go viral, you go viral, and there's no real, doesn't really make sense in my head. I don't know if that's because I'm an old man now. But do you have any advice for people that are wanting to build their social media platform? So say they've got one already, they've got a few hundred followers, but they want to sort of take the next step. How can they, like, increase their reach or their engagement, so to speak? What would your advice be anyway?
It's all about sort of finding out what the actual current trends are and what people, what the active topics are basically on social media. So you might, like at the moment, for example, you've got Barbie's just come out in cinema. So everyone's doing pink snake stuff and pink animal stuff. So it's all about just trying to find what's really popular and to try and incorporate that into your video somehow.
Yeah.
And if you're not doing videos, focus on doing videos, because as soon as you switch from doing posts to reels, you jump on a whole completely new new part of, like, the platform basically.
Yeah,
like, you're not being seen on posts, you're being seen on all reels as well.
Okay, so, and would you say, like, posting regularly, would you say that's quite an important thing as well?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I've noticed it, especially back when I first built my second account up. You know, I was doing posts, and even when I just had 500-600 followers, they would reach maybe 70 to 100 people.
Yeah.
But every time I was doing reels, it could be of the exact same snake or animal. As soon as I do a reel, you know, you start to hit maybe 2 or 3,000 people.
Yeah.
But it's just,
yeah, I've noticed actually. Yeah, so I've noticed in the last, I don't know, 4 weeks probably, I'm trying to do, like, obviously I'm running the RepTiChat podcast account. And then I've got my my own personal breeding account as well. I'm trying to get at least one post on there every day. And I found that I seem to be getting a lot, like you say, a lot more engagement almost instantly. Just after the first week, I was noticing I was getting a lot more likes. I was getting more followers each time. Yeah. And I'm not posting anything different than I would normally. I'm just posting a lot more regularly. The podcast account is a little bit different, because the content, I'm sort of restricted by what I'm posting, because I'm posting, like, clips from the podcast or just releasing the new, whoever, like the next guest or whatever. So it's sort of much of a muchness. But again, I'm still trying to produce, like, post content every day or every other day at least. It definitely does seem to be helping. So yeah, I think that's a good sort of bit of advice, is just do reels and post regularly, I suppose. And as long as you're posting half decent content.
So that again, really important is engagement.
Yeah. So is that like encouraging people to comment and like and stuff like
that? Yeah, definitely. Like I've noticed as well, especially with other people like Luke at LG Pythons, he's someone that is consistently supporting everyone all the time. And
Luke is always the first person to like or comment or react to a story. Every time I post, he's always the first person. He hasn't, I don't think he's ever missed a post either.
Yeah, no. So it's just something that you're not doing it in the hopes of getting people to like and comment back, but it's something where if you're showing love to the community and if you're taking time out of your day to show appreciation, then it's going to be reciprocated. People are going to do it back to you. So it's just nice to have, you know, that positivity in the community.
No, definitely. I think that is something that resonates, especially in the reptile keeping community on Instagram. You do tend to find that if you're commenting or liking or reacting to people's posts, like say a specific account, they tend to pick up quite quickly, and then you'll find they're reciprocating, and then you build friendships. And not only do you build friendships, you build trust as well. So like in the future, for like if you're breeding or if you've got something to sell, for example, say I go to you, I'm thinking about buying this from Luke at LG Pythons, for example. Do you know him? Do you trust him at all? Or like, is he an all right keeper? And if you're out there putting yourself on Instagram all the time, then like you would say to me, oh yeah, no, that's it. I know him, he's a sound guy. Whereas if you have your social media but you're not posting, you're not like supporting other people, you're sort of like in the background, and people will have heard of you, but there's not as much trust built through. I don't know, like some people can just look like they're really nice and they're not, but for the most part I like to think that people are genuine. I like that, so that's cool, man. Right, we're getting near already, actually. Time is flying today. We're pretty much there to start wrapping up. So I like to wrap up with what I call the Hall of Fame and the Hall of Shame. Someone told me yesterday that I don't need to explain what it is, but I'm going to explain it every episode anyway, because I like to explain it. So basically, it's a museum, right? In my museum in your head, and it's for new keepers. And they're going to go into room one in the museum, and the room one is the Hall of Shame. And in the Hall of Shame is something that every single podcast guest has put in there. So it can be a product, it can be some advice, it can be something else that you think of in the top of your head that you want to say to new keepers or show to new keepers, don't use this. After that, we'll walk through the Hall of Fame. It's exactly the same concept, but it's all the good stuff. So we'll start with the rubbish stuff and then we'll finish on the good stuff. So you've walked into the Hall of Shame. There's your empty pedestal. What are you popping on it for new keepers to avoid?
To use the correct temperature heat lamps for your reptiles or tortoises, you know, dragon. Whatever you're using, to make sure that you're using the correct wattage, the correct temperatures.
Awesome. So that your Hall of Shame, so don't use the wrong stuff, basically. Like, check your temperatures. And I always recommend as well, use one of those laser heat guns. You can buy them on Amazon for like 12 quid, and they're so much more accurate than the crappy little analog dials. Awesome. So then, walking through into the Hall of Fame, what is something that you would like to add to the Hall of Fame that, like, is a product that you've used and it's amazing, or a piece of advice that you've heard and you'd like to give it to new keepers? I can give you some examples of what we've had as well. So we've had like full spectrum LED lights. We've had the parrot keepers. What did they say? They put on their clip cups, which was literally just a feeding cup for a parrot, but it clips in so the parrot can't throw it around. I'm trying to think of other things. I can't think of anything else off the top of my head. I normally have it written down and I haven't got it with me today. But yeah, loads of things. Like I put in there thermostats. Thermostats are brilliant.
The cages for heat lights to stop your animals getting burnt.
Yeah, brilliant. Actually, that's something I never recommend to people and I always forget. And it's something that I think everyone should have. Like, not necessarily with something like a leopard gecko, but if you've got like something that climbs or a snake and you've got heating that is in the enclosure... Yeah, like, put a cage around it. They're like a tenner, and it will stop your snake getting burned. There's nothing worse than seeing pictures of somewhere where they've gone, oh, my whatever snake wrapped itself around the heat lamp. What's this on its body? And it's like got the most severe burns you've ever seen. Because although the heat spot is only 30 degrees, the actual lamp is like 150. Like, I'm not saying go and do it, but if you were to put your finger on a lamp, it's going to really hurt. So protect your animals from that. I like that. It's a really good thing to add on there. So yeah, heat lamps. Good shout. Wicked. Heat lamp cages even. I like that. Awesome. So all that is left for you to do today, mate, is to plug yourself. So where can people find you? I know it's a touchy subject. If people wanted to find you, where can they find you currently and hopefully in the future?
Well, hopefully it will remain at the current Instagram that I've got, which obviously is going to be built up very slowly.
Yeah. And that's at XPythons. All the links will be in the show notes as well.
Yeah, so that'll be XPythons. And then we've got our TikTok, which is Beyond Repi.
Yep.
We've got Sadie's Instagram, which is Repi Life. And then once everything is eventually next time, well, probably this time next year, I'll say, we'll have our official business Instagram, our business TikTok.
Yeah.
We won't be able to name on that yet.
No, that's fair enough. And you'll be on Morph Market and stuff if you've got stuff to sell as well, I presume.
Yeah, definitely.
Awesome. So yeah, go and check out TikTok, go and check out both the Instagrams, that's Sadie's Instagram and obviously Luke's Instagram, which again is at XPythons. And hopefully Beyond Breeders will come back. But if it doesn't, we're gonna build XPythons back up.
Fingers crossed.
So that's pretty much all we've got to go for today, mate. So thank you very much for coming on. I've really enjoyed chatting with you.
Thank you for having me.
Like I said, if there's anything I can do to help you in the future with your whatever animal plans you decide to do, give us a shout and I will do my absolute best.
That's us.
So yeah, thank you very much for coming on. It was lovely chatting to you.
It's been a great time. I've really enjoyed it.
Brilliant. And I will I'll speak to you very, very soon, mate. Thank you very much.
Yeah, perfect.
See you later. Awesome. So that was Luke again from at Beyond Breeders, or now at XPythons. Please go and give his new account a follow, because like I said multiple times, unfortunately the at Beyond Breeders account got taken down at 10k and he did nothing wrong, which is a massive kick in the nuts. That's crap. So if you are still listening and you haven't subscribed or followed on whatever audio platform you're listening on or watching on, please do it. Like, if you're on YouTube, click that subscribe button, give us a thumbs up, drop a comment below, tell me your favorite biscuit. It all massively helps, and it's a free feature. Like, it doesn't cost you anything to do it, and it really, really helps me. If you do want to help the podcast even a little bit more than that, there is a note in the show notes below. Sorry, there's a link in the show notes below to a website called Buy Me a Coffee, where you can donate the cost of a coffee, which is like £3, towards the podcast. And every donation really, really helps, because it's not the cheapest thing in the world hosting this, but I'm going to keep doing it anyway. But every little helps. So yeah, that's me just rambling on at the end of the podcast now. If you are still listening and you want to keep up to date with what's going on, Instagram's probably the best place. So at RepsChat for the podcast, that is like clips, and I reveal who's coming on the podcast, and we do Q&As and all that sort of stuff over there. And then if you want to keep up with my royal breeding and personal reptile keeping, that is at Ben's Balls, and both of the links are in the description below again. So that is all from me today. Thank you very much for listening, and until next time, bye bye.